Thanks for joining us for the Minor Tweak Major Impact podcast. This is the first episode of our plant science series, and we're excited to have Dr. Rob Shirazi as the guest for today's episode. Dr. Shirazi received his PhD in horticulture from Oregon State University, and then he worked as a postdoctoral research associate at Oregon State University, first in the Department of Botany and Plant Pathology, then in the Department of Horticulture on a project for quality assessment for nursery crop production. Since 2007, he has been working as a research horticulturist at his own horticulture research group based in Hollister, California. In this episode, we're talking with Rob about his PhD and postdoc projects, challenges in method development for horticulture research, how minor tweaks in methods can have a major impact on the outcome, and more. So let's jump right in. Rob, I would like to welcome you to the Minor Tweak Major Impact podcast.
Oh, thank you. Great to be here.
Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and what you're currently working on?
I have actually a PhD in plant physiology, working with the different type of stress that I use. I actually did my PhD thesis on that, the sub-zero temperatures, high temperatures, and chemical stress on trees mostly, and also the dormancy of the trees. And then I did the postdoc at the EPA at Oregon State University also, that I was working actually on the ecophysiology, dealing with the Douglas fir and lichens. It was more related to the environmental pollution. Lichens are very sensitive to the pollution. And yeah, it was about 3 years postdoc that I did. And then I founded actually a horticulture research group after I had jobs at the research, actually plant physiologist in Chicago. Then I moved to California, and then I founded actually the horticulture research group, which we are working right now on testing different organic seeds as well as organic pesticides, fertilizer, and then to see how actually they are working and some evaluation on those as well. That's pretty much I have been doing since I actually finished my postdoc at the Oregon State University.
Great. Thank you so much. And if you had to describe what a typical protocol looks like or a typical procedure that's being used in horticulture research, what does a typical procedure look like for you when you're doing your work?
We basically have basic research and applied research. I've been doing more applied research rather than be involved in a couple of basic research with my graduate student, because when I was in Chicago, I was also adjunct faculty with the University of Illinois Champaign-Urbana, which I had graduate students from there, also Purdue University and University of Wisconsin as well. So our protocol, which is related more applied research, is depend, you know, what project that we have. For example, what I did mostly was the effect of sublethal stress on trees, which we found out actually that the plants and trees, they can recover sublethal stress. And then basically our protocol was the type of freezing or give them the high temperature or spray them with the chemicals so that to break the dormancy, and then evaluate them visual observation. Also, we use the electrical conductivity method, which is basically been using for many, many years, that we actually, after stress, we shake in actually the pieces of the plant material that they have stress, also the control one, and then membranes actually of the cell membranes, they become leaky after stress, and then we calculate amount the leakage, and then also there are a lot of other tests to see how much was the damage, and then we look at sometimes the anatomy and then the type of the damage to the plant. At this time, our protocol basically is that related to evaluation. Basically, we are evaluating new vegetable seeds, and then we look at their growth, their production, and also as well as what type of insect or diseases and the problem, and then the quality, which is very important. Also, in that regard, we are using with a lot of biofertilizer as an amendment for trees, especially like we have a project with the biochar, and then also with the grape that we are using biofertilizer. Biochar is when it's something new that a lot of people are interested to see what benefit the biochar, which is by actually is a basically the carbon that's left after very, very high temperature, you know, thermal temperature, that we are evaluating to see what ratio of that and then to what extent we can actually use that and the combination with the other things for the best plant production and growth. That's basically that we are doing at this time. So a lot of work.
Yeah, sounds very exciting. So do most of the protocols or do most of the experiments happen out on the field, or is there also lab work involved?
Some of them that I did previously, they are actually the lab work, but our actually sampling it takes in the field, and then the rest is in the lab. And right now, actually, we are dealing with some compound, organic compound, that we are using that plant production, controlled disease, that we are applied that actually on the greenhouse to the plants, and then we take sample, and then we take the sample in the lab for evaluation.
Great. And what would you say are some challenging things in working on horticulture research?
Well, there always has been a lot of challenging at this time with this condition that we have. Challenging as to look for the plants and vegetables that they can tolerate the high temperature, as well as disease, to be disease resistant, insect resistant. And then, of course, the final thing is that high production with the good quality. Sometimes we have production, but the quality, the color, the taste, and the other things are not desirable. Even the look of it, like we have been tested several different zucchini cultivars, varieties, to see actually what form they are and then how marketable they are. That's very important. Yeah, it's always is challenges, especially when we are talking about the environmental conditions that we are facing. Those areas that are very cold, the plants survive on. So we are always tested the new trees that they're coming to the market to see how they can stand very, very low temperatures in Midwest, upper Midwest, in Chicago area, for example. And then also the heat tolerance of some of the plants, that how they can actually resist and to be heat resistant for some area. So there is always challenging in this horticulture research.
That's very interesting. And my next question is a question that I always ask on this podcast, and it's, did you ever experience a minor tweak, major impact moment in your research? And this can mean different things, such as, have you ever experienced that a technique that you wanted to use didn't work the way that you expected it to work? Or did a method suddenly ever stop working for you, but it previously worked? Or maybe a method was lacking details. Did you ever experience anything like that?
Yeah, it's definitely, I always say that when you follow the protocol, it seems the people, they probably not write or say everything that they did, or probably they forgot about it.
Right.
So, yeah, we have been actually doing that, and then sometimes things doesn't work. The research is something that you don't usually get what you want. It's just always going to be things doesn't work. But each time you get another idea, give you another direction to finally to get what you want. It takes time. We had this situation with the working for the pollen of Douglas fir to see how sensitive they are going to be in a bioproduct of formaldehyde, which is a bioproduct of the ethanol. And it actually took a long time to develop the protocol to create that protocol. But finally, we did that. It was published that in England in environmental, actually, journal, Plant Cell and Environment. But truly the case, I mean, it's not just you follow the protocol. I always say if you get the cookbook and you want to make the food that is written in the book, you don't probably get what usually you expected to because of the details that or the way that the people, they do things. But overall, it's good. I mean, the protocol helping a lot. You don't have to start from scratch. Because already the people, they went there, but there is so much details about any research sort of is a little bit different. But these days, there are protocols are ready to go for like molecular biology, and pretty much is then, it depends how you apply it, what you want to actually use that protocol to do what. And then you have to develop probably a new method or to add to what already is there, to modify it in order to be successful.
Right. My next question is, what is the most exciting part for you to study plants? Why do you like to study plants? Or why did you ever get into studying plants in the first place?
Yeah, it was my actually interest as a childhood that I actually studied agriculture and pursued that all along for the last 45 years. I enjoy working with the plant, and then the research part of it is the most interesting. It's so exciting in a way that is you are looking for something and then things doesn't go right and make it very dynamic, actually, activity. You think about it and then you look at all the other papers, how they did that, and then you're adding to the story. You're adding actually to the research that has been done, and that's actually very rewarding. So far it's been done to this part, and now I am actually contributing to this area of the actually science. I found it very actually interesting, very challenging. Yeah, it's so exciting because you don't know actually how things gonna be. It's very interesting. Sometimes things happen that is very, very actually unexpected that you do and you find. You publish it and then they understand that actually you have done very good research. And then when you publish it, you feel very good because now the time that other people, they can use it.
Great. And then my last question, as always, is if you were allowed to make a wish for a tool on the field or in the lab that would make the life of researchers easier, what would that be? Or maybe what would that have been if you think back to your time as a PhD and postdoc maybe?
Yes, I mean, it depends, you know, so that if you have a private research company, it's very different than you are already in the university or in a very big company. But as a small company, we need a lot of tools and other equipment for our testing. But pretty much, not very much, but still, we always can actually have to make things. Otherwise, we have to go, and I've done to go find a university close to us and then ask them, or sometimes you want to actually use their equipment to get your data. And then, of course, our research needed a statistical analysis, and then always, so sometimes you need some sort of data analysis to interpret your data and your results.
Right. And I think one time you told me about something that I think it was in your PhD research or maybe for your postdoc, you were doing something. I don't remember what exactly it was, like a task that was a lot of manual work and you had to do it manually. But then actually there was a tool that existed for it. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, it was actually in order to testing a lot of theories for the stress, we had to do the hand tool for measuring the leakage from the cells. By the actually device of electrical conductivity device to see how much damage the cells they have. Then I find that actually there was a tool that they measure 100 of those samples in like 5 minutes. It was actually great to have that, but they have some limitation. It was more designed for the seeds evaluation and viability rather than actually a stem tissue. But still, we could actually do the shaking and everything and put the solution and get our data. But yeah, sometimes you don't know such a device is existed. And some of them, the research is requires that you need to actually tools that you have to have. It's not something that everybody has it. And then it's just a specialized lab. They have it like differential thermal analysis that we use to test the supercooling of water in the tissue. Because the plants, they can supercool water to minus 40 Celsius in the tissue and survive. And even they can survive in the liquid nitrogen when we store them. And then they can actually survive again. The insect, they do that as well, the supercooling phenomena. And then there is a machine, actually, a device that not everybody does. We have to construct it actually ourselves, actually get all the pieces. And then sometimes you need to do that. I mean, it's not just, you can go ahead and buy a differential thermal analysis device. They have it in for different actually area in different form, but the one that we were using to use for the plant material, it wasn't available and it took us some time to build it in order to use it. And then we got the data that we were looking for. I mean, the testing that we had to do and we got good results from the actual machine.
Great. Rob, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your story and insights on the Minor Tweak Major Impact podcast.
Thank you very much.
This is your host, Anita, and we look forward to being with you for our next episode.
This program was produced by H Media. We'll see you soon.